Hi there, club members, and welcome to this week's live session. Let's go straight to the Trello board and see what we're covering today. I'll share my screen. Here we go. We are in our next communication column, clicking on the next live session. And today, our main focus is talking about managing a team member with mental illness. It can be a challenging space to navigate. So I've got a few hints for you. I hope you find it helpful. Also, I wanted to kick off with a reminder. So those club members, just stop sharing for a moment. Those club members who have gone in and had a full club membership, that's the membership that's $497 per month. Do remember to contact myself and Charles and set up your monthly personal one-on-one coaching sessions. So there's a couple of you that I've been emailing and calling and saying, come on, let's go. You're paying the good money for it. Let's get the good coaching happening at the same time. So if you are one of those members, do give us a hoi and we can work our schedules around so it suits both sides. Now, let's have a little look at the main topic of today, which is managing a team member with mental illness. I'm just going to go into my little PowerPoint there. Now, with mental illness inside the workplace, it's a very difficult space to be in because, number one, most of the time, none of us are professionals where we know how to manage mental illness ourselves. We can't help diagnose it. We can't help put a treatment plan in place for them. And it's a very difficult space. But at the same time, we also want to be supportive and caring and provide that team member what they need in order for them to be comfortable and not feel that their health is suffering at all. Team members as well, there's an enormous impact on the team members in this kind of environment. Everything that one team member does in a dental practice directly impacts the others. We are all very much reliant upon each other to get through our days in a happy and productive way. And if one team member is struggling quite severely with certain issues, can absolutely have a disruptive and unhelpful impact on the team, and they also may be consumed with quite a bit of worry over this team member as well. So difficult space to be in, that's for sure. And of course, the underlying fear around all of this is, what do we do when the performance starts to suffer either regularly or over a long period of time? So the first thing I want to make sure that I clarify straight up is that the advice I'm giving you today is management advice. It is not medical advice. I'm not a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a GP, nothing like that. So this is management advice that I'm giving you. How are you going to, as a dental practice, manage a team member with mental illness in a way that serves them, your business, and your team as well? So that's the point I'm coming from. As you know, the common mental illnesses that are plaguing our community are depression and anxiety, and to a lesser degree, more dramatic mental conditions such as schizophrenia and other things that can become a little bit more violent. Hopefully, you are not in a position where you have the threat of violence overshadowing your team because one team member is quite out of control. And if that was the case, of course, the minute there's any physical violence in the workplace, you have got every right to dismiss that person instantly, regardless of mental illness or not. Other team members and their safety need to be protected. And I think that's one of the lessons I want to share with you, is that just as this particular team member who is suffering from mental illness is in need of support and protection and an environment where they can thrive or get better, so too every other team member demands exactly the same and has a right to demand exactly the same from you as well. The advice that I'm giving is going to be a firm, controlled, taking action advice trail for you. This is not going to be advice that is putting a lot of cotton wool around the situation and around the team member. That cotton wool, that is for their loved ones and family members and intimate others to create that environment for them. You have a responsibility as a manager or as an owner of a dental practice to not only that particular team member, but the rest of your team members as well. And you also have a responsibility to your business and your patients, because if the business goes down, you are no longer there for anybody. No team members, no patients, not individual team members with mental illness, nobody. So I wanted to put together a firm action plan that would allow you, give you the permission to be strong in this space. So I've created a bit of a step-by-step process for you. The very first thing to do when someone is complaining of a mental illness, such as anxiety or depression, that may be affecting their ability to perform at work, is to talk to them. So sit down one-on-one when you've got plenty of time and ask them, what's going on for you? And you want to get, as you can see there, you want to get from generality down to specifics. So a generality is, I'm depressed all the time. A specific is, tell me more about that. What things depress you? When do you feel depressed? How deeply do you feel sad? How is your depression that you've self-diagnosed? How is that playing out in your life? How are you experiencing that? You know, I wake up every morning. I'm always waking up feeling very sad. Is it every single morning? Every single morning, are you waking up feeling sad? Oh, no, well, it's actually only two or three mornings a week. Okay, well, let's find out what's going on at those times in your life. So if you can get as specific as possible about what's actually going on for that person, you will be able to help them even more so. And they'll be able to help themselves even more so as well. For a guiding principle in terms of getting from generalities down to specifics, we've got the WWWH. I think I've got them all there. Who, what, why, how, and which. So if you are struggling in the specifics, so the why, for example, why do you think that you are suffering at the moment? Why do you think that you wake up feeling sad in the mornings? How do you wake up? How does that present itself to you in your, how do you feel when you do wake up sad? Is it because are you tired, or is it because you've had a, you know, you've been drinking a lot the night before? And so once you start getting into the specifics, then you can start to really identify and help that person to identify what's going on for them. Now, in order for you as a practice to accommodate the additional needs of a team member that's suffering from mental illness. And when I say that the accommodating additional means, I mean making certain allowances for them. So for example, I feel like I can't perform at my best in this full-time capacity, or I feel like I'm at my worst in the mornings. And if you're going to start making allowances for that person's adjusting performance, then you need to know exactly what you're dealing with. It can't be generalities and it can't be a self-diagnosis. And so the second step is to encourage that person to go and get a proper diagnosis so you know what you're dealing with. Because with that diagnosis will also come with it recommendations of things that person can do to help themselves and what the workplace can do to help them as well. So that diagnosis is a crucial element. And this is where I get a little bit firm. If that person says, I just know I'm suffering depression and I don't want to go off and get treatment done, or I don't want to go off and get a diagnosis, then they're not taking complete responsibility over their mental state. And if they're not taking that level of responsibility, then you can't help them in that space by giving them allowances. So it is an agreement, a respect on both sides that I am suffering here. Let's get specific about what you're suffering about, where your suffering is coming from. Let's get a firm diagnosis. We both know then exactly what's required of us to make sure you are on the path of recovery or the path to get better in some way, start feeling better. And you do your bit and we'll do our bit. But you can't be expected to make allowances for a team member who is not willing to take the same necessary steps in order to get themselves better. As I said, you know, family situations and units are so much different. You can absolutely say, you know, that person's just going to lie in bed all day for the next month and they're suffering, they've got the blues or they've got depression or whatever the situation is for that person. And we get that. But a working environment, there are certain standards that still need to be maintained in order for the business to remain viable and for the team that are working with that person, that their performance isn't badly affected either. So then the making of allowances is the next step. So you've got someone who's struggling in front of you. We know exactly why they're struggling. And now because of that consultation with a specialist, an expert in their field, now we've also got a list of things that they can do that will help them get better. It's good. You don't have to know that. That's a confidential list. They're entitled to privacy. If they wanted to share some of the things on that list, then that's great, because one of the things could be, let's make sure that you are really taking as much happiness out of happy moments in your life. And you can certainly help with that in the working environment and celebrate wins. And let's all help each other through these days and really enjoy the successes that we do have. But you'll also, from that diagnosis, you'll also have words around what is required from a workplace in order for that person to get better. And so the kind of allowances that you might need to make, they can range. For example, when people are suffering depression, they often find it very difficult to get up early out of bed. And so an allowance could be, if you had an admin person writing all of your, if this was the person that was sick, they're writing all of your correspondence, they don't necessarily have to be there at work 8 o'clock on the dot. You can still put the same number of hours in, but you're starting at 10 instead of 8, working through to 7 instead of 5. If that person says, I find it very difficult to turn up to work every day. Again, if they've got a kind of an admin role, then let's bring you on site twice a week, because being on site amongst people that care about you in a structured environment, it's going to be good for you. But then work a couple of days from home as well. In the dental scenario, though, rarely do we have positions that can be done remotely or at differing hours of opening, because that's when the patients are there. If a dental assistant is the one that's suffering, and they need to be there when the patient and the dentist are there. So the governing bodies around this encourage employers to do what they can in order to make allowances for this person, but they can't be unreasonable allowances that then affect how that business is going to remain viable. And so make allowances where you can, and just be stay in that curiosity mindset around that. I wonder how we can possibly create this environment that this person needs. I wonder how, rather than thinking straight away, or we simply can't do it, then take time of a couple of days where everyone's just having a think, I wonder how that could happen. Let's see if there is a way around this. And maybe, you know, they elect to reduce their hours down, and they do their 3 days a week instead of working 5 days a week. But make sure that you are being flexible and you are open to making allowances for them. The next step is, if you have come to this level where you've had that discussion, you've got brought it from generalities down to specifics, you've asked specifically what's going on for that person, what their experience of that condition is, and you've then gone to that next step of getting that diagnosis so everyone knows what they're dealing with, and you have made allowances for that team member, then without removing the privacy element for that team member, inform the team, Joe is having a difficult time at the moment, and Joe will find getting this, this, and this happening is going to really help her in the workplace to be able to perform at an acceptable level. And so, team, we're going to do that. We're going to make these allowances for Joe, and we really hope Joe gets better. And whatever you can do to help support Joe is going to be really appreciated. And Joe is going to remain in communication regularly with us to let us know how they're going. And so certainly inform the team. It wouldn't look good, and it wouldn't be good for team culture, if all of a sudden one person started coming in late every day with no explanation. The team deserved to know what's going on. And as I say, you don't have to breach any privacy. You don't have to say that Joe is suffering depression or Joe is suffering from anxiety. Joe is just has a health concern at the moment, as simple as that. And then the next thing is to have regular check-ins on progress, because what these regular check-ins will do, it's a form of accountability. When some people are suffering from mental illness, they find it difficult to keep themselves to account. In terms of a working environment, there's going to be a certain standard of performance that's required for that person, for that team member. You want to continue being in communication with that person, with Joe, to make sure that that standard is still there. Joe, I know that you've been struggling, but I've really seen how you have maintained setting the standard for high customer service. It's fantastic. Thanks very much. I have noticed that you've been turning up late and taking longer lunches. Do you need extra time? Do we need to make a further allowance for you? Because unless we make that agreement about the allowance, we do need you to turn up on time and have your allocated time for lunch. Part of the regular check-in as well is if they have shared with you what the recommendations of their specialist said or their doctor said to them, their therapist said to them, of things that were helpful for them that would help get them better, how are you going with that? I know that the therapist said that it's probably best that you try to get to bed by 10 o'clock every night. How are you going with that? And have a very caring, thoughtful discussion around what are you doing in order to continue to get well. Because if you're doing your bit, we're going to keep doing it our bit. And that is a fair and reasonable path forward. And it's an empowering path forward. Because if they are in a supportive, caring environment where people are reacting appropriately to their mental illness, they are in an environment that will help them get better. The impact on the team can be quite substantial depending on what kind of mental illness is going on for that person. Now, I've worked with somebody in the past. It wasn't actually directly a place that I was working in, but I was very close to this business. And one of the team members every now and again would go a little bit nuts and would get quite aggressive and yell at people and intimidate them. And it was extremely uncomfortable and a threat to many people in that environment. Now, when things are at that extreme, as I say, all of the workplace laws still apply. If any member of your team is directly threatened or physically harmed, you can terminate that person. That is grounds for dismissal. There is no question about it. So don't feel like your hands are tied just because it has the mental illness attached to it. With the whole team, certainly inform them of what's going on and explain the allowances that have been put in place, like I mentioned before. Ask for their feedback and observations. You know, everyone, if any of you have discussions with Joe or you think yourself there's a better environment that we can create for them or we can do this to help them or that to help them, please let me know. We all want to make sure that Joe gets better and do what we can to get there. Another element that can happen to a team is compassion fatigue. And so this is where the person who is suffering talks about their condition a lot to people who will listen to it, and the person listening to it is doing the right thing by listening attentively and caring and being supportive, and that's a wonderful way of being supportive. However, if it happens very consistently or over a long period of time, the team members can start developing compassion fatigue. So what I would suggest is that from the very start, say, you know, do whatever you can to help support Joe and, you know, feel free to have private discussions with Joe if you think those are helpful. However, always know that if it gets difficult, you can refer Joe to have those discussions with the management instead. You know, if it's a boss, you know, you can have it with me instead. So feel quite welcome to say, Joe, I understand what you're saying to me. I think this is a discussion that you should start having with Julie instead. So give them permission to refer the difficult discussions to management. If you manage this kind of environment well, keep in mind your team members are watching you and they see your dedication and loyalty to that team member and your compassion and you bending rules for them and making allowances for them to get better. And that in itself will help foster a caring work environment, and your team members will feel a stronger loyalty to you as well because of the behaviour, the positive caring behaviour that you've exhibited. So it can be, you might think, gosh, it could only be bad for culture. Maybe you're thinking that, maybe you're not. But I certainly have experienced that when a team member is going through difficult times, that the impact of your appropriate care of them will have a positive impact on the culture itself as well and your team members. Of course, when we are talking about mental illness and having this kind of environment, it does force us to also get, or it's worthy of us going down the path as well, of what kind of environment would help minimize the chances of this happening at this practice or with this particular person. What kind of environment could we create where that person may be struggling, but actually the workplace starts becoming a wonderful place to go to, an empowering place to go to, a happier place to go to, because these sort of situations are managed well and the environment is such a positive one. So let's have a look at what kind of things we can do to create a healthy work environment. And one thing I forgot to put on the list, I've just realized a couple of minutes ago, is the very top one. You must make sure that you create a work environment that is free of any kind of bullying or harassment, victimization, passive aggressive characteristics coming out in people. You want to avoid all of the clearly obvious bad things, bad characteristics that can creep into a working environment, because those sort of things, such as bullying, harassment, micromanaging, all of those sort of strong negative working environments, they can create anxiety disorders in people. They can create or make far worse a depressive illness. They can create such a toxic environment that whatever anyone's battling with at the moment, it tips them over because it's such a difficult environment. So you must make sure that you are creating an environment where none of that is tolerated. Micromanagement is not tolerated. Bullying is not tolerated. Harassment is not tolerated. Also, what you can do is create an environment of wellness. So make sure there's things like fruit in the staff room. We're a healthy bunch of people here. You know, set the example of going out for a walk in the sunshine at lunchtime and encouraging your team members to do the same thing. Breathe in that fresh air, get those beautiful sun rays in, it makes you feel better. All these things are good generally for good mental health. Bring nature inside, so bring some plants in, open the windows, get some nice fresh air flowing through all the time. Don't have popular, I was going to say 80s music, gosh, that goes back away. Don't have just all the popular tunes in the background music for a dental surgery to help people calm down and have a relaxed experience anyway for our patients. You want nice, soft background music, but make it beautiful. Beautiful harmonics, beautiful orchestras, all of that kind of music that's just so pleasant to listen to. So create an environment of health and wellness and positivity. Also catch spiraling discussion and flip it. As you would all know and you've probably worked at in the past, are environments that have just become gossipy. Now, gossipy environments can fester when they are allowed to fester. And the same goes with negative environments as well. Some people just like to complain about stuff, and that's okay. They can complain, but we're not going to get into a huge diatribe about the complaint. So try to catch these sort of discussions as they're spiraling down and flip it or change the subject. Try and not allow these negative discussions to continue on. Otherwise, one day you'll be listening, you're like, this is all I hear now. All I hear is gossiping, or all I hear are the bad sides of life and the negative things and the things to complain about. So try, they can happen. They're always bound to happen, and people are allowed to say what they like, but catch them as they're spiraling and flip them. Continue trying to make it a positive environment. This is a big one. Hire happy, positive people. Hire people with a great sense of humor. Hire people who have a lovely look at the bright side of life kind of bent to them. Hire people who are enthusiastic and energetic. Hire people who are quick to laugh. focus on team happiness. This is an interesting area. I'm going to be writing about this in an article for Australasian Dental Practice magazine. One of the things that I've got in there is it's a discussion around staff bonuses. I've never been a fan of staff bonuses, and in this article I explain the reasons why. And what I suggest as a better option is that the team themselves, if you want to give financial reward, the team themselves earn the financial reward from the practice. Say, for example, you know, we've had a great 6 months and we've met our targets, and so, you know, there's $2,000 that is on offer for the team. Find something, think of something, be creative, what we can buy for the practice that improves our experience here. It might be refresh the toilets and get a fresh look of paint, and maybe, you know, update the cabinetry, update the toilet, make it all pretty. It might be let's get a dishwasher for the staff room. It might be let's make sure that the outdoor parking area has got more better parking facilities. We're going to get rid of that rubbish. We're going to paint the parking lines in so we can fit another car in, all those sort of things. So think about what, and it might be let's all go away for a weekend together to a retreat, a spa retreat. So do what you can to improve the facilities at your working environment. At your practice, do what you can to make it so happy and enjoyable and positive being there. Encourage fun and laughter. Hopefully gone are the days where if a couple of staff members are in the staff room having a laugh and a giggle about something that their boss isn't frowning going, why aren't they working hard? So encourage fun and laughter. Praise and acknowledge. Regularly tell people how much you appreciate them, thank them for the day and their efforts, praise them when they've done a fantastic job. Again, this is all about creating a nice, positive environment where people enjoy being present there. They enjoy working hard, and we're doing what we can to make sure that if you are suffering in any way, that you feel a little bit better turning up to work rather than having work make your situation any worse. Provide opportunities to speak up when concerned. Oh, I've been worried about Joe. Joe's, you know, doesn't seem like they're happy all the time. So I'm not quite sure if Joe's okay. Maybe Joe, I've been unhappy. I need to go and speak to somebody about it. I know that I can speak to my bosses about this because that's the environment that they've created here. So provide opportunities to speak up when concerned. And of course, the easiest way to do that is check in with them directly. So just routinely, as you catch a team member with they've had a failed appointment time or the next patient's running late, check in with them. So Joe, how are you going? Is everything going good in your world? Are you happy? Anything here that you think could improve upon? What do you love about working here? What do you think we could improve upon and make it a better environment for everybody? So check in with your team members routinely and have meaningful discussions around what's going on in their world. Also, be encouraging and supportive when someone makes a mistake. If someone is suffering depression or anxiety and they make a mistake, and they get the frowns and that, well, because Joe did that wrong, now we all have to do this. And, oh, Joe made a mistake, so now we're going to write up a new policy around that system because, you know, obviously Joe didn't get it. Don't make people feel bad about making simple mistakes. Have an environment where it's actually quite okay to make mistakes. It's understandable. If it's a bad attitude mistake, then you can manage the bad attitude separately. But if someone makes a mistake, instead be encouraging and supportive. Oh, I saw that you made that mistake. Is there anything I can do to help train you in that more? Is there anything I can help to do, you know, do to fix the mistake? Be encouraging and supportive. The what can I do for you? As you know, my little wristbands. What can I do for you? Team culture, every morning huddle. Are we going to put these on and be committed to working with each other with the constant question in our brains? What can I do for you? What can I do for you in the steering room? I can do those instruments for you. I've got an extra couple of minutes. I'm running a little bit early. Is there anything I can do for you, receptionist? You're doing the confirmations, receptionist? I've got time. What can I do for you? Can I do those for you? that the leaders of the organization, the management of the organization, are going up to the team members and say, how are you going? What can I do for you to help make this environment even better for you? What can I do for you, patients? What can I do to help make you feel more comfortable, more calm, enjoy your experience more? And of course, be caring and kind. These lovely human characteristics, that these elements of our characters are what drive our behavior and attitude towards one another. If we have a caring and kind mindset when we look at our fellow team members, then when they're struggling, we'll allow them what they need in order to have the space to understand what they're going through and recover. Be caring and kind in your management of the people around you. A caring environment is a beautiful thing to be a part of and is exactly what's needed, especially when somebody is suffering and struggling under a mental illness. So I'll get rid of that little screen there. I'll stop share. Here we go. I don't know how to get rid of it. So if there's any question mark over what the daily focus would be today, I'm going to tell you right now, I encourage you to, for this coming week, have random one-on-ones with your team members and ask them, how are you going? How are you going here at the practice? How are you going in your personal life? What hobbies are you doing? Have you got any holidays planned? What did you do during lockdown? What are you doing now? Just have a nice, meaningful discussion with each one of your team members this coming week. That is my daily focus for you. Hopefully it will help you understand your team members a little bit more and they will feel a little bit more cared for as well. So I'll just jump back in, close the session off today. I've still got that thing open. Why can't I get rid of it? Ah, there we go. There we go. We've done all our bits. We have completed that today. We can drag this over now to our completed list and prepare ourselves for next Wednesday. So next Wednesday, live session. I absolutely look forward to seeing you then. I hope, let me just stop sharing there. I hope you all have a beautiful afternoon, evening, depending on whereabouts in Australia that you are. I encourage our full club members to get in contact, set up your one-on-one sessions. You get one with me and a separate one with Charles every month. And hopefully you'll be looking forward to that. For all the other club members, it's so wonderful to have your membership. Really appreciate it. If there's any topics that you'd like me to cover during the live sessions, please email me anytime. If you need any assistance or questions answered in between the sessions, the live sessions, contact me anytime as well. I'm here to be as much service to you as possible. Until next week, I look forward to seeing you then. Bye.